Adults hate to lose, man. Don't forget that. All right. we're going to get started this morning. If you want to take your Bibles out, open them up to Matthew chapter 7. And you can also look inside your bulletin. There is an outline, which you can pull out and follow along with as well. You know, I'm always amazed at how God arranges things. When I started doing the Sermon on the Mount here, I really didn't know how long it was going to take. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to break it down. And of course, I knew when I started that in October we were going to be starting Simple Life, and I didn't know how many weekends I'd be gone in the summer. I didn't know anything. Well, as it turns out, we should finish the Sermon on the Mount at the end of September, so it's like perfect timing. And God gets the credit for that because I had no clue what I was doing, which is kind of normal. So anyway, we're going to talk today about a very important passage in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's just one little verse, but it's huge in its impact in our lives. And it's a verse that you've all heard of. It's often quoted, and it's often misquoted, and there's a lot of discussion about this verse. And it's usually called the Golden Rule. And the Golden Rule is something, you know, we tend to teach our kids to live by, and then we grow up and forget about it. But Jesus tells us that this is a principle that he wants us to apply in our lives. If we are going to be his disciples, we must live by the Golden Rule. So I thought I'd look up some humor on the Golden Rule to get us started. And you know, it's always amazing to me how little humor there is on certain topics from the Bible or things. And it just shows me sometimes, I think Christians just need to lighten up a little bit. So that's what I think. So. But here's just a couple of cartoons I found. I like this one because this is pretty much what happens. Do unto others as you would have them do unto. And then, of course, he gets splattered with all kinds of stuff there. You. And that speaks to a misconception. Some people think that the Bible teaches if you're good to people, they're going to be good to you. That is not what the Golden Rule says. It says you're supposed to treat people how you would like them to treat you, not how you think they're going to treat you. Okay. Here's one. Origin of the Golden Rule, I've got the gold, so I make the rules. You've probably heard that. There's several different forms of that, but that still floats around a lot today. And then there's this one, my golden retriever is smarter than your honor student. I don't think that's part of the Golden Rule, but maybe it is. I don't know. That was pretty much it, folks. Not a lot of humor out there. People need to lighten up. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of meeting together. We thank you that your word is truth, and we thank you, God, that Jesus in this sermon, this whole sermon, has challenged us and has spoken so deeply to our hearts. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll help us to be honest with ourselves again today and to be willing to look at not who we'd like to be or who we want to be, but to look at who we are and then to see who you want us to become. And Holy Spirit, we pray you would help us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 7, as I said when we started it, I think really is all about relationships. And this is a principle that Jesus lays out in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, that obviously applies to all relationships. And so the first thing I want you to understand about this as we jump into this discussion today is that Jesus gives me one perfect principle to live by. One perfect principle, and here it is. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's Matthew 7, verse 12. As I've said, a lot of you have heard this in various, you know, it's translated slightly differently, but it's basically the same thing. And it's a very simple thing. And it's a principle that Jesus has given us that if we follow it, we'll solve an awful lot of problems. And that's what the challenge today for us to do is not just simply to look at this and to acknowledge that, yeah, this is good or it's true or whatever. The challenge is to figure out how can I apply this in my life? How can I start living this out in my life? Where am I maybe not living this out in my life? Because this is not easy to do. It sounds easy when you glance at it. When you actually think it through, and really are kind of brutally honest with yourself, it gets a little more complicated because most of us have an awful lot of double standards and they operate in all kinds of different ways and they're usually fairly subtle But generally speaking, I know a lot of people who expect to be treated one way, but then who think it's okay for them to turn around and treat people an entirely different way, and usually in a not such a good way. And that's what Jesus is challenging us with today. He's saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. This is how my disciples live. This is a principle that you can apply to almost every area of your life. So what are we going to do with this? How do we deal with this? Well, I've laid out a couple of steps on your outline. Number two is, I need to recognize this for what it is. I need to recognize it. If you've ever talked to people about Jesus and about the Golden Rule, you will hear some people, particularly people that have had some, maybe some education, will make much of the fact that other people said similar things to this before Jesus said it. And in fact, most people will tell you, wow, lots of other people said the same thing Jesus said. Well, did they really? The reason I put these quotes on your outline is so that you'll have them, so that if this ever comes up, and if you save your outlines, like smart people do, then you can whip your outline out and you can read it to them, because there is a difference, a huge difference, between what Jesus said and what other people said. For example, Confucius is supposed to have said, and I say supposed to have said because we really have no idea. The all the quotes and all the stuff that are attributed to Confucius were written so much later than he lived that we really don't know, but it's very possible he said something like this. He said, do not to others what you would not wish done to yourself. Now, the Stoics had a very similar, almost exactly same quote to that. I want you to notice the difference. Do you see the difference between that and what Jesus said? Well, let's go on. In the Old Testament Apocrypha, in the book of Tobit, chapter 4, verse 15, it says, do not do to anyone what you yourself would hate. That's very similar to what Confucius said. It's just said in a little more simple fashion. And perhaps the most amazing story, though, comes from the Talmud, the book of Shabbat 3:12. There were two rival rabbis that were vastly influential. They lived before Jesus, slightly before Jesus' time. And they influenced generations of rabbis after them. One was named Shammai and one was named Hillel. And according to the Talmud, which is, if you don't know what the Talmud is, don't think you want to go home and read it, because it's about this long. It's like, I don't know, 15 or 20 hardbound volumes. It's basically Jewish tradition of interpreting scripture and talking about it and other things in there. And according to this, one day a man came up to them and he asked them to teach the whole law while standing on one leg. Now, this, of course, after this, by the way, this was a common thing that the people would begin to say. In other words, what they wanted you to do was boil everything down to how long can you stand on one leg? Well, not forever, so you want to kind of make it short, right? Well, Shammai just didn't even reply, because either he couldn't think of anything to say quickly, or he felt it was beneath his dignity, which is probably what happened. But Hillel did. Hillel said this, what is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. This is the whole law. All the rest is only commentary. Now, do you notice the difference between these things and what Jesus said? These are all negative things. Jesus put it in a positive, proactive way. These are all very religious statements. And in fact, and I want you, this is kind of a long fill-in. I know I've got a couple of long fill-ins for you today. Sorry about that. The difference between all of these statements and what Jesus said is that they make no reference to doing anything good or helpful. They simply say, don't do anything bad. So they're taking what is actually a very religious approach to this, which is, here's what you shouldn't do. Because religion is really good at focusing on what you're not supposed to do. Whereas Jesus and faith is all about what you should be doing. And so Confucius and Hillel and all these guys, they were all trying to restrain evil. Whereas Jesus' statement is not simply to restrain evil, it's also to invoke us to do good things as well. Jesus does it both. So there's actually a huge difference between all of the statements that came before Jesus and what he said. They're close, but they're not the same. And this is a great example of what I've been talking about throughout this whole series, what I call Christian counterculture or Christian nonconformity. We're not supposed to be obsessed with not breaking a host of rules and regulations. That's not what Christian faith is supposed to be. Now, I know people have made it into that. You may have been part of churches or know of churches, I have, where when you became a member or to become a member, you had to agree to a big, long list of rules, like, you know, I won't wear makeup, I won't go to movies, I won't smoke, I won't chew, you know, I won't go with girls that do, I won't, you know, whatever. All these silly rules that, you know, people throw out there, and then what happens? Well, I actually, back when I was in Kingman the first time, this is my second time here, and the first time, long, long ago, when I was a young man, so that was a long time ago, there was a church in town, I won't tell you which one, that had a rule, because I don't know if they still do or not, they probably don't. The rule was that their members couldn't go to movies. And so I knew people in that church, and they just all went down to Bullhead and went to the movies down there. So I was like, what? But see, that's religion, is trying to don't. Whereas Jesus comes along and says, do. He says, do. I want you to get out there and do stuff, but I want you to treat people the way you want them to treat you. So disciples are to be focused on loving like God loves, not focused on what I shouldn't do. Now, of course, obviously there are times when I have to deal with what I shouldn't do. I'm not saying you never look at that. Of course I have to look at that. Particularly if, as I think about this principle that Jesus lays out today, if I realize, you know, I'm really not treating someone in my life, whether it's a wife or my children or my parents or friends or people at work or brothers or sisters or whoever, then obviously I have to really get busy with God and say, God, I've got to deal with this here. But the main focus isn't on just don't do anything bad. That's religion. Religion just stops you from doing bad stuff. No, Christianity and following Jesus is all about getting out there and doing lots of good stuff. Because you know what? If you're constantly doing good, guess what? You don't have time to be bad. And so Jesus wants us to understand this, that this is a principle. It's not just a negative slap on the wrist from God. This is a principle that will help us live the way we want to live, and to live in such a way that we can bring glory to God. And we have to recognize this for what it is. Once we've recognized that it is indeed something different and unique, it's not just Jesus repeating what other people have said, then, number three on your outline is, I need to realize its scope in my life. I need to realize its scope, how much of my life really falls under this. And as I begin to think about it, I begin to realize, oh, gee, a whole lot of my life falls under this. Now, if you go back and look at verse 12 again, if you've got your Bible open, or you can just see it there on your outline, you'll notice that in most versions, verse 12 begins with the word so. Did you notice that? There we go. So, whatever you wish. Now, the NIV drops that out, but I actually think that in this particular case, that little word is important. Because the word so, you could also even translate it therefore, refers us back to something. It refers us back to what God has, or what Jesus has been talking about before here when he talks about God. Remember when we looked at ask, seek, and knock, what did he say? He says, he told us God would answer. God doesn't give his children bad things. He gives his children good things. Why? Because God is good. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. But when I talked about that, I skipped something. Some of you may have noticed me skipping it, and some of you may not have. Some of you may have been really happy that I skipped it because you didn't like it and it makes you uncomfortable, and some of you may have wondered why I skipped it. Well, I'll tell you why I skipped it. I skipped it because I knew what was coming. I also skipped it because you can't put everything into sermons. You know, I have preached a few sermons, and I have heard a few sermons where the preacher took everything he learned in weeks, months, however long he studied and prepared for this message, he put everything into the sermon, and it was a nightmare. It was horrible. And I've preached a few of those. You know, you have to winnow some things out, folks. You can't put everything in every message, but this is important. I didn't put it up on the PowerPoint. Okay. I should have. I didn't. I want you to go back and take a look at verse 11 of chapter 7. Write this down on your outline, Matthew 7:11, if it's not there. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I didn't talk about that who are evil phrase there, did I? 2 weeks ago. No, I just let it go. But it bears repeating and thinking about, particularly in view of this thing. This new principle or guideline that Jesus gives us. He gives us to apply to our whole lives. And it's a challenge to us because we are not naturally inclined to always treat everyone the way we know we ought to. Because I'm selfish, because I'm angry, because I'm grumpy, because I don't like you for some reason, you said something or did something, whatever, you know, I'm inclined to sort of treat you in a way I should not treat you. And Jesus says, no, the scope of this command applies to everything in my life, all my relationships, everything. It sums up the law and the prophets, which is a whole lot to sum up in one little line, and yet Jesus does it. Jesus is saying, if you, in most situations, stop for just a second and ask yourself, how would I want to be treated in this situation? And then treat people that way, most of the time you're going to do well. Now let me give you two examples of this from the news in this past week. There were two big stories in the news, well there were more than two, but two that you heard a lot about. One was about the pastor down in Florida who wanted to burn a bunch of Korans. And I actually wrote a blog post on this. If you want to know more about what I think on that, go. You can check my blog out. The address is on the bottom of the back of your sermon outline. I wasn't going to say anything. And then when I heard there were copycats popping up, I thought, oh, I'm just going to talk about it and get it done. But here's the thing. How do you deal with this? Well, if you apply the golden rule, you have your answer. I don't want people burning Bibles. That offends me. I don't like it. I mean, I don't have a cow about it, but I don't like it. I don't like it when people do that, so I shouldn't turn around and burn their books. That's very simple. It's just a very simple thing. It cuts all the emotion out. It cuts all the other extraneous, ridiculous excuses and rationalizations that we use to enable us to do what we want to do when we know we shouldn't do it. It's all gone, and it's very simple. Do I want them to burn my Bible? No, but I'm not going to burn their Quran. Very simple. Boom. Problem solved. Should have never come up. And if you're a pastor and you can't figure that out, you shouldn't be a pastor. That's all I have to say on that one. The other one is the mosque in New York City. Just to take the flip side of this issue for a minute. You know, a lot of people are all upset about it and all that. And you may think, well, what does this have to do with they're Muslims. Well, yeah, but Muslims say they accept Jesus as a prophet, so if he's a prophet, then we should pay attention to his words. And he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, that should solve the issue, because they don't like it. In fact, they won't let you go to Saudi Arabia and build a church anywhere, much less near a mosque or a holy site. So if they don't want that to happen to them, they in turn shouldn't try to do it to us. It's very simple. It's simple. That's what I love about the golden rule, is it's simple. And it just cuts the emotion and all the whatever out of it. It just boils it right down, easy to see, boom. Now, the quote I showed you a second ago, Bishop Riley said this. He said, speaking of the golden rule, it settles 100 difficult points. It prevents the necessity of laying down endless little rules for our conduct in specific cases. I've told you over and over again, Jesus is not legislating in the Sermon on the Mount. And here's the answer to that. When you legislate, you have to try to think of every possible thing that can happen and then write a rule about it, right? Well, he's not doing that. He lays down a principle that answers all of those things. Answers all of them. If we have the courage to face it and apply it and live by it. Which brings us to number four on your outline. Number four is pretty simple. I need to receive it. I need to receive this into my life and live it out. Because that's the bottom line. I mean, I don't care if you believe it's true or not. It's nice if you believe it's true. The real issue is, are you applying it? Are you trying to live this way or not? Because if I'm not, then I don't really believe it, even if I say that I do. I mean, if I'm not even making an attempt to apply the golden rule, then I don't really believe it. So, here's the big question, you know, that sits on your outline. Now, why don't I live it out? Why don't we live this out more? I mean, it seems, it's almost self-evident, really. It seems pretty clear. It's a very simple statement. What's stopping me? What's stopping you from actually living this way more? I got one word for you. Self. Self. Again, we go back to what Jesus said when we looked at it 2 weeks ago. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts. See, the human heart is not, the Bible teaches this, it's very clear. It's not good all by itself. It is actually in rebellion against God, and it tends to want to do things that are bad for other people and even bad for itself. And the human heart lies to itself constantly. You know, we have the term being in denial. And now that means is I'm just lying to myself. I'm lying to myself. Oh, I'm fine. You heard in the communion meditation about the two rooms or boxes that Christians live in, you know, then the one box is I'm telling everybody I'm fine when I'm not fine. But I even tell myself that. And sometimes I convince myself I'm okay when I know I'm not okay. So then I'm really messed up now, because now not only am I trying to keep you from knowing the truth, I've convinced me to believe a lie about myself. So now I'm lost because I don't even have any idea what's going on here now. When you lose grip on reality, you're in big trouble. And the human heart just loves to make that happen to you. And self, myself, my ego doesn't always want to treat you the way I want to be treated. I want to treat you in ways that are more convenient for me. Yeah, I'm mad and I want to vent and I want to blow up. And so I do. Boom, I blow up all over you. Well, that makes me feel great. I feel fine now. You know, people are like that. I have a member of my family's like that. She's a blower. She's a venter. She gets to a certain point and then look out, man. It's like a volcano. Boom, or a bomb or something. And it's everywhere. She's yelling and blah, blah. And then she's done and she feels great. And then she's smiling and happy. And she's like confused because everybody else in the room is not smiling. And they're not happy. Why? Because she just verbally vomited over all of us. That's why. Now she feels great, and we're all like, rah, 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 rah. You know. Well, how does the golden rule apply there? What do you think? If you don't want someone doing that, maybe you shouldn't do that either. But myself doesn't want to see it that way. Myself fights seeing it that way. Because it's just inconvenient. You know, it's much easier if I just do the things that I want to do that make me feel good. And you can just adjust to it. I mean, this is just the way I am, and you have to accept me the way I am. And then Jesus comes along, and he says, if you then being evil, I hurt my self-esteem, Lord. My inner child's been wounded. How could you say that? Because it's true. That's how come he said it. It is true. And deep down inside, you know it's true. Now, I don't mean evil like all of us are going to go out and commit mass murder. That's not what he means. Most of us are never going to do anything like that. But every single one of us is going to lie to yourself sometime today, or at least try to. And you're going to try then to pass that lie on to somebody else. Every single one of us. And that's the root of all evil, really. It all comes out of that denial of reality, denial of God, denial of what's going on in my life. So it's myself that stops me from really putting this into practice. Now, what is the golden rule? The golden rule is really a very shortened form of what we often call the great commandment. And let's just read through it. You've heard this before. This is kind of the longer form of saying the same thing. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him in this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commands." Notice how similar that is. Jesus said at the end of the golden rule, this sums up the law. Now he quotes the two greatest commandments in the Old Testament, love God with everything you got, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, this sums up the law. And notice too how self comes in. The golden rule says you figure out how you want people to treat you in most situations, and that's the way you ought to treat other people. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that you have to be in love with yourself and look in the mirror every morning and go, hello, I love you, you beautiful person. Years ago, I was involved down in Parker in an organization, a secular organization, but we were working, and there were, you know, church people in it and tribal members and town people, and it was an anti-drug thing, and we were trying to you know, cut down on the, especially focused on the teenagers using drugs, trying to you know, bring that down. And we had a master's level psychologist speak one at one of our meetings, and he said, and I've never forgotten this because he was completely serious, and he was a nice guy. I knew him and I'd worked with him, and he's a great guy. I liked him, but He said, you know, every day, every morning, you should do this, because this is what I do. I look in the mirror and I say, I love you. Oh, I'm sorry. I just can't do that. I'm, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's me, but maybe you can. But I cannot do that. It just feels a little too dopey. I'd rather look up and say, God, I love you, and I know you love me, and I know you've got a plan for my life, and help me to do what you want me to do today. You know? But you'll notice how we've got God and self floating around here. And here's something that I think the golden rule and the great commandment kind of is often overlooked, and we need to face this. Spiritual growth is coming to know both God and myself. You can't obey the golden rule if you don't really know yourself and that you're coming to know God, because you're going to need God's help to do it. Even though I may know what the right thing is to do, but that doesn't mean I've got the power to carry it out. Because, you know, you people are so annoying, it just drives me crazy. If you were just more like me, everything would be fine. But oh no, you have to be different. So that, yeah, it's hard, you know, it's, I mean, treating your sisters or your brother well, that's hard, man. You need help. The golden rule runs on. It's fueled by knowing what you love and hate and then learning how to respect that in other people as well. And if you don't know what you really are made of, if you don't know who you really are, or what you're really like, then how can you apply this principle? You're going to have a hard time. An honest, accurate appraisal of self is essential to spiritual health. Okay, and I want to remind you again, here's where I put it up. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts. See, Jesus says, you've got to know this. You have to know God and self. And that's the key to spiritual growth. That means I have to come out of denial. I have to stop lying to myself about who I am. And in some cases, I got to stop lying about God. Because some of us, we kind of make God into the big Santa Claus in the sky, you know, and he's just there to do good stuff for me and then to leave me alone. That's why we love Santa. Santa comes once a year, gives us what we want, and then he leaves. And he doesn't bother me for the rest of the year, does he? That's what we want. We just want him to come like more than once a year, like every week or so, and drop off what I need and then split and leave me alone. That's not how God works. God has standards and principles, and he's going to annoy you if you don't do them. He's going to convict you of your sin. So, you've got to come to know yourself. Not by self-absorption, not by sitting around staring at your navel, if you can even see your navel. Some of us have to put a mirror out there. I probably won't say any more than that. But you need to watch how you act and react in situations. Your reactions are very important. Study the scripture, think about it, pray about it. Ask God to help you so that you can learn to know yourself and him better. Because, here's the bottom line, self drives me both to obey and disobey Jesus. Self drives me to do both. It's an odd thing, because usually we think of self as an impediment to spiritual growth, but actually there are times when it can be helpful if I really know myself. If I don't, I'm in big trouble. So, how does self lead us astray? I want to give you three things here that we need to avoid doing and that we will do almost without thinking about it if we're not careful. Okay? Self leads me astray. How does it do it? First of all, I rationalize my behavior. Well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but it's, in this case, it's okay not to do that because, well, he really deserves it. You know? He's really a bad guy. It'll be good for him if I don't do this. You know, the human mind can rationalize anything. If you don't believe me, just go back and read what the Nazis said about the slaughtering of all the 6 million Jews and all the other, quote, subhumans, unquote. They rationalized that very well. You can rationalize anything if you try hard enough. Now, failing that, we retreat to this next one. We revise. We revise. This is another way of saying we lie. I don't know why I did that. Really? Weren't you there when you did it? Yeah, I was there because I did it. Oh, well, then I think probably somewhere down deep inside, you have an idea. We subtract, you know, or we add. You know, we add to our rationalizations. And we subtract our real motives. Well, I don't really know. So we try to revise it so it doesn't sound as bad as it really is. We've all done that. We do it to ourselves. And it's easy to tell yourself that and make yourself believe it. Other people, it's a little harder. God, it's impossible. So rather than go through that whole thing, just just skip it altogether. And then finally, we just retreat. You know, we retreat. There's a bunch of Christians out there who would never spend the time that we spent going through the Sermon on the Mount. You know why? Because they say, well, that's for the millennium. That's not for today. Oh, really? Cool. What else in the Bible can I make put in the millennium so I don't have to be bothered by it today? Let's find some of those pesky things about not lying. Let's just put all that in the millennium and do what the heck we want. Give me a break. Jesus did not spend all that time up on that hill, and the Holy Spirit did not inspire Matthew to write all this down so that we could avoid it until the millennium comes. I'm sorry. You got to deal with it. Jesus spoke this to disciples and said, I want you to follow me too. So I've got to drop the rationalizations, I've got to quit revising it, and I've got to stop backing away from the truth and come forward to the truth. And that leads us to right where we always end up with these messages, which is, now what do I do with this, okay? How do I react to this? What am I going to do? I want to spend just a moment with you this morning just thinking about this and praying about this, because the truth is, we are not capable. I believe this absolutely firmly based on my own experience and a lot of other people I know. We are not capable of consistently living this out apart from God's help. Some of you may have been touched by this message, and you may go home and you may think, you know, I'm going to treat my wife better, or I'm going to treat my husband nicer, I'm going to be better to my kids or my parents or whatever it is, and that'll last maybe a couple of days. And then it's like, you're just going to start going down, or maybe you just, boom, fall right off a cliff. You know, you can't continue it without God's help. And you see this all the time, you know. People, they try to make a change, and they have a couple of good days. They think, yeah, it's going good, and then, boom, what happened? Well, you ran out of strength. You ran out of energy. You don't want to try and do this in your own strength, because you will fail, because human nature doesn't have that power. And people are pretty difficult to get along with. If you don't believe me, just ask your friends. How difficult am I to get along with? And if they're really good friends, they'll tell you. We need God's help. So this morning, we got to ask God to help us apply this in our lives, or we're just going to fall flat on our faces again. So I want you to stand with me, if you would, please. And this morning, I want you to be thinking and praying about a couple of things. One is, ask God to help you see where you've not been applying this golden rule in your relationships. And then secondly, ask him to help you start today to begin to do this. Heavenly Father, we have a hard time with this, God, because to do this right, I have to really look at myself and see myself for what I am, not what I want to be, or wish I was, or know I should be. And I'm grateful, God, that I can face this just between you and me. So, Lord, you know who I am. Help me to come clean on this. Help us to see the places in our lives, Father, where we're not doing this. Maybe we've been aware of it, but we've just been avoiding it, and maybe in some ways we haven't even known it. God, open our eyes. Help us reveal the truth of our actions to us. Father, we just want to turn to you and repent and ask you to forgive us in the places in our lives and our relationships where we've been selfish and maybe mean and cruel. And help us to make amends there, Lord. Help us to start today to treat people the way we want to be treated. Help us to live this out, Lord. Not just for their sake or our sake, but mostly for your sake, God, that you can get the glory so that people can see how Jesus changes people's lives and that they'll come to you to be saved and changed as well. So, Father, we pray you would fill us with your Spirit and give us the power that we need to follow you, to live for you, to serve you, and to obey our Lord Jesus and to do unto others as we want them to do unto us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week.